This is the tax update for the week beginning 2nd December, and I'll end with a reminder that the autumn statement is scheduled to be held this Thursday on 5th December, but I begin with new advisory fuel rates applying from 1st December, and an observation that at my local garage the price of fuel now is exactly the same as it was in June 2012, but HMRC has reduced the fuel rates. And I find this remarkable, especially as at this time of year, my fuel consumption goes down by approximately 20% in the cold weather. I've given a link to the announcement along with some detail of the reduction in the fuel rates, and hopefully it will be of interest that you could mention it in a client letter or a note to your employer about the change, which applies from 1st December. HMRC have also published VAT Note 4, which at two pages on a PDF file is worth a quick read, because it announces future changes such as the change in the place of supply of services rule, which will apply from 1st January 2015. HMRC have also published a guidance framework for VAT recovery for NHS trusts, and partial exemption is a difficult area, so this 14-page guidance is definitely worth a read, especially as it might help improve the VAT recovery and therefore the running costs of hospitals. Mr. Harding was formerly employed by KPMG, and on termination of his employment, he signed a compromise agreement and received in return $109,793. That compromise agreement advised that a clause in it that the excess over $30,000 was to be treated as taxable. But when Mr. Harding completed his tax return, he used a short four-page return, which is not appropriate if you've received a lump sum termination payment, and he did not disclose the receipt of the termination payment. There wasn't really any doubt that the payment exceeding $30,000 was taxable, but what Mr. Harding was appealing against was the penalty which had been imposed on him for submitting a return that was incorrect, and it was incorrect because he failed to take reasonable care. Now, at the first tier tribunal, he tried to use an extract from an article that he'd read on a website, which suggested that a termination payment paid after the cessation of employment might be tax-free. And that's actually what the extract said, but the whole article was four pages and made it quite clear that that only applied for the first $30,000. But Mr. Harding's point was that he'd made a mistake in interpreting complex tax law, and he had a basis after research for the position he adopted that the termination payment was not taxable. However, it wasn't a position that could be shared by either the court or most people with common sense, and I think in this respect it counted against Mr. Harding that he'd worked for KPMG, a firm of accountants and professional advisors, and the court concluded that the evidence and the explanation he was providing was simply not credible and therefore not acceptable, and accordingly they upheld the imposition of a penalty that the return was incorrect because of a failure to take reasonable care, and a 15% penalty was appropriate. So the penalty assessment raised under Schedule 24 Finance Act 2007 on an amount of £2,778.18 was correct, and he would have to pay that penalty because of the careless inaccuracy within his self-assessment return, which led to the understatement of liability to tax. On 27th November, HMRC published its 11th Employment Related Shares and Securities Bulletin, which at three pages is an interesting read because it's brief, but it also contains useful links for further research. And with that, and a reminder that the autumn statement is on the 5th of December, I'm going to say thanks very much for listening.